Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Gamers are a seriously passionate bunch. After spending hours, days, or even weeks playing a single game, some seriously hardcore fans will seek out tiny in-game details left behind by the developers. Anything left unexplained can have a fan base spinning theories that point to a much darker picture off-screen. And disturbingly, not even your favorite childhood games are safe. From Mario's insatiable hunger for souls to people eating Pokemon, it's time to shatter the fourth wall and take a dive into a few theories that'll ruin your favorite video games forever.
You're listening to
Be amazed.
When the platform battle royale game Fall Guys was released in 2020, the gaming world quickly fell in love with the battling beans. They race through a glorified mini-golf course, knocking out competitors as they go, all while dressed in a wonderful wardrobe of costumes. But some players noticed that the costumes didn't fit the way they expected. Some revealed the slim shape of the bean's head through the face opening. Now, most people assume the bodies of these beans fill out their suits, but this indicated they're actually more stick-like. With that in mind, fans started to wonder what was really going on underneath the onesies. Are Fall Guys squishy, stick-like beings that can stretch out of their suits at will? Or maybe the bulk is made up of extra body parts so that they can crawl out of their face holes like true-to-life nightmares? Horrifying as that was, it turns out that what actually lies beneath the suit is much worse than any fan could have imagined. To one-up the community, the game's senior artist mocked up a flesh-crawling interior view of a classic bean. The head is suspiciously human, but the neck, legs and torso are so distorted that it's hard to tell where the humanity ends and where the nightmare begins. Nothing about it makes sense. How does the bent spine support all its weight? How do its hips move without sockets? How does its mouth work inside its body? To make it worse, they also confirmed the beans are all about 6 feet tall. I don't know about you, but I missed 15 seconds ago when I didn't know this man-sized monstrosity existed. In 2020, a year where a worldwide pandemic left a lot of people craving social interaction, one game rose into the limelight, not because it connected people, but because it let them kill each other in space. The game is Among Us, a social deduction game released in 2018 where each player completes tasks on a spaceship through their brightly colored astronaut avatar. However, there's an imposter among them who kills off crewmates before the tasks are complete. As they fall to the ground, though, their bodies expose a single bone at their core. This brilliantly bizarre anatomical feature has led some fans to theorize that these aren't human astronauts. Instead, they're alien creatures that contain just one long bone, like a sentient leg of ham. Though not every fan buys into the lone bone theory, some have pointed out that the characters have little oxygen packs, so they must have a ribcage to support their lungs. But in an update from January 2021, one of the new maps had a small detail pinned to the wall. Lo and behold, it was the lone bone hung up like an anatomy chart. While this is literally the backbone of the internet's understanding of the crewmate's skeleton, the rest of their anatomy is a total mystery. Considering what happened last time fans questioned a bean-shaped being's anatomy, I'm happy to leave this unanswered. Nintendo's popular Pokemon game series started off as an 8-bit adventure that, over the years, has exploded into a world of vibrant colors and warm characters. But several fans believe this might all be a smokescreen for a world that's actually much, much darker. For those who've never played, you collect adorable little monsters and battle them out, ordering attacks that make the opposition Pokemon faint. Although the word faint here is just a very nice way of saying you've beaten them unconscious. That on its own is pretty horrifying when you think about it. Though it's no big deal, you can always heal your own Pokemon at a nearby Pokemon Center. But always might be the wrong word if the infamous Lavender Town scene is anything to go by. In the first generation of internationally released games, Pokemon Red and Blue, the player enter a town that's accompanied by a very sinister tune. While suppressing your goosebumps, you have to climb Pokemon Tower, a skyscraper packed out with hundreds of gravestones. Not for humans, but for Pokemon. It's here that you meet your longtime rival, Gary or Blue. He immediately asks why you're there if none of your Pokemon are dead, which is strange because that would indicate he's there because one of his Pokemon has passed on. In every battle you've had before, he sends out a Rattata that's evolved into a Raticate. But this time, the Raticate in his party is missing. Now, the last battle you had was aboard the SS Anne, a ship without a Pokemon Center on board. In theory, this could mean that after losing the fight on the ship, your rival rushed to the nearest Pokemon Center, but it was too late to save his Raticate. Wait, does this make you a Pokemon killer? This theory is pretty upsetting, to say the least. Almost as upsetting as burying hundreds of Pokemon in a skyscraper. So creepy. But it's not the only disturbing detail in the first generation Pokemon games. In Vermilion City, the Pokemon Gym Battleground is run by the military mad Lieutenant Surge. When you approach him, he makes a one-off comment that electric Pokemon saved him during the war, and that they zapped his enemies into paralysis. Sounds like something your crazy uncle would blurt out at Christmas. But hold up, this means that Pokemon were once used as weapons in an actual war. And Lieutenant Surge is only middle-aged if his hairdo and high-waisted trousers are anything to go by. So it must have been a fairly recent war at that. This would indicate that the Pokemon games are set in a post-war world where the Kanto region suffered a huge number of casualties. It'd go a long way to explaining why there are so many Pokemon centers and a lack of older male characters throughout the game. This might be why your character only has a mother and no father, and why there's no mention of your rival's parents at any point in the game. In order to wipe out an entire generation of adult Pokemon users, the theory follows that this war must have been huge, although it's unclear who the enemy was. Another region, perhaps? Maybe an untamable legendary Pokemon? While Nintendo have kept quiet about this mysterious conflict, I wonder if they've got plans to release a game that'll let you play as part of the Pokemon War. I mean, how cool would a Pokemon crossover with games like Call of Duty or Battlefield be? Pikachu, I choose you. Hit the enemy with Thundershock. Yeah, great job, Pikachu. Now teabag him. While you can find many Pokemon in the wild, not all of them are natural. Porygon, for example, is a first-generation Pokemon made entirely out of computer code, proving Pokemon can be created artificially. With that said, what happens when these artificial creations go wrong? Well, one theory has an answer in the form of the poison Pokemon coughing. This happy ball of toxic gas is a favorite of the evil Team Rocket throughout the original games, but this bunch of thieves would be much better suited to ghost-type Pokemon, seeing as they can slip through walls, disappear instantly, and really frighten their victims. There are only three ghost Pokemon in the original games, though, Ghastly, Haunter, and Gengar, and they're not easy to catch. Unable to get their hands on them, what if Team Rocket had attempted to create their own ghost-type Pokemon? By genetically engineering gas particles from poison Pokemon and forcing them into bulging balloon constructs similar to Ghastly's shape, they brought a floating coughing creature to life. It clearly worked at first, but when they tried to evolve their creation into a Haunter shape, their plan went sideways. Instead of growing a set of hands like Haunter, the resulting wheezing grew more heads. The smile of this tumor-ridden terror was replaced by a look of constant pain and misery, and as its name suggests, it was even struggling to breathe. Faced with the menacing monstrosity they'd created, Team Rocket admins abandoned the project and gave the poor Pokemon to their grunts to use as cannon fodder. That theory's so evil, I wouldn't put it past Team Rocket to try. It's no secret that all Pokemon are identified by their elemental properties, ranging from fire and water to dragon and steel. But it's ghost Pokemon that stand out as some of the oddest, because if the three original ghost Pokemon, Ghastly, Haunter, and Gengar, really are ghosts, then what Pokemon are they the ghosts of? One theory argues that the answer is lurking on the other end of the spectrum in the realms of the original fairy Pokemon. Fairy types are a mystery, with moves and abilities more magical than any other. While little is known about them, there's a striking similarity between the fairy Pokemon Clefable and the ghost Pokemon Gengar. From their pointy ears, stubby limbs, and three-fingered hands, their silhouettes are unnervingly similar. Not only that, but Gengar is also known as the Shadow Pokemon. A shadow of what? Well, when you flip it around, you'll see a similarity with Clefable. Could this mean that Gengar is the dark spirit of a very sweet but very dead Clefable? If so, then what about the fairy Pokemon before Clefable's evolution? Do they also have ghost-type counterparts? Upsettingly, the theory follows that the adorably tiny, ball-like Cleffa perishes into the ghostly sphere of Ghastly, and the cute-eared Clefairy is trapped in the form of Haunter. What kind of dreadful end did these poor Pokemon meet for their souls to be trapped like this? Well, I have another theory, but I don't think you're going to be able to stomach it. Since the Pokemon games debuted, fans all over the world have wondered if normal animals exist in their universe. If they don't, then what do the people there eat? This isn't really addressed in the earlier games, though in Pokemon Sword and Shield, you can cook up a delicious range of curries and share them with your Pokemon. These all seem innocent enough until you cook up a sausage curry. There hasn't been any mention of regular old pigs in this universe at all. So, are those sausages made from pork or Porkamon? Perhaps I'm overthinking this. Maybe they're just a good-looking vegetarian alternative. Though it's hard to rationalize how a bluntly named bone curry could be made without any kind of meat. Maybe normal animals do exist in this universe then. We just haven't seen them. Ever. I mean, the developers at Nintendo wouldn't be sadistic enough to make you eat the creatures you've befriended in this game. Or would they? Maybe not in the international versions, but in the Japanese release, they made no secret of the main ingredient in one depressing dish with an iconic claw that definitely belongs to the crab Pokemon Kingler. Nintendo hasn't officially confirmed that people eat Pokemon in-game, but for one horrifying moment, let's work on the assumption that they do.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Would the farming process work like normal, where battery farms raise and breed Pokemon as livestock? Maybe certain Pokemon species, like those close to cows and pigs, are bred to be food. What if, after they've been harvested, farmers save on the costs of raising new Pokemon and restore them through Pokemon Center technology? That would mean they go through the entire gut-wrenching harvesting process every time someone starts craving steak, seafood, or sausages. Even though this is just a theory, I've suddenly lost my appetite. Now, moving on from Pokemon, the physics-defying video game Portal is a puzzle lover's dream, no matter their age. It starts off innocently enough, where you play as a test subject in a research facility with access to a shiny new portal gun. After ripping holes in reality to solve a series of innocuous challenges, the story takes a turn for the worse. The spotlight shifts onto the homicidal villain, GLaDOS, a rogue AI who has a love of testing and a hatred of you. But before she goes completely haywire, she introduces you to companion cubes. These weighted boxes help you complete some of the more complex tasks that would otherwise require you to be in two places at once. What's inside them is never revealed, but when you're instructed to incinerate the cube, you unlock an achievement called Fratricide. That's the act of slaying your brother or sister, almost like the cube was alive. And that's not all. During one test sequence, GLaDOS lets slip a vital hint. It says, and I quote, "I think that one was about to say, I love you." And they are sentient, of course. We just have a lot of them. You heard that right. The cubes are sentient and can talk. That means there might be actual humans trapped inside them. In-game, GLaDOS has no regard for human life, so it's not too far-fetched to assume she'd force the player to unwittingly kill someone just to antagonize them. To the unassuming eye, Portal's maniacal mechanical villain hanging from the ceiling looks like the furthest thing from a human. However, a developer's commentary of the game revealed that GLaDOS's arm was actually inspired by human traits. She was originally going to have a floating brain or resemble Botticelli's Rise of Venus, made out of mechanical parts. Eventually, they settled on a sleek, curved design to make her look fatally feminine. They were so successful in this, though, that one fan believed they could actually see the shape of a woman in the arm's outline. It wasn't Botticelli's Venus, though, but a woman who had been bound and strung up from the ceiling by her feet, as seen in the cover image of this episode. The two forms certainly look similar, and considering GLaDOS's madness is restricted to the facility, the bound form gives the shape of the villain a lot more meaning. Maybe the developers couldn't admit this sort of risque influence in the commentary and so kept it out of their description? Sounds pretty unlikely, but even so, I'm definitely gonna have a hard time unseeing this comparison. Next up, when Nintendo released Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020, fans noticed something strange about the surfing event. While Mario got to ride his board barefoot like a regular person, Sonic still sported his sneakers. This got fans wondering why Sega's favorite blue hedgehog was never seen in any game without his trademark red running shoes, although the better question here might be, what are his shoes hiding? Does Sonic have little clawed paws like a hedgehog? Maybe they're as equally large as his hands, or perhaps he has fully formed four-toed feet. Oh God, I wish I'd never asked. It's a question that's haunted Sonic fans for almost 30 years, thanks to the inconsistencies in comics and animations from the 1990s. While one cartoon shows he has little blue paws, another reveals a pale-footed, three-toed creature, and a separate comic strip displayed some freakishly human feet. So, what's the truth? According to Sonic the Hedgehog game producer Takashi Iizuka, Sonic just never takes his shoes off in canon. Frankly, this leaves me with more questions than I started with. Maybe the answer can be found in other characters that don't remove their shoes, like Kirby. This cute little pink blob is a Nintendo creation that sports similar red shoes to Sonic. But just like Sonic, Kirby's creator refuses to divulge what his feet look like beneath. While some believe they're smooth pink blobs like his arms, others theorize that to be able to run and walk as he does, there are five-toed feet hidden beneath. All feet aside, Kirby is an innocent series of action platform games that are as adorable as they are wholesome. That is, except for one, Kirby 64, The Crystal Shards. This was the first Kirby game to boast 3D graphics, which gave fans a good look at the worlds Kirby could play on. Too good, it turned out. One of the available worlds, called Shiverstar, featured a geography similar to Earth's. All seven continents were clearly visible, but obscured by a cold, foggy haze. When Kirby visits the planet, you can see the terrain is also similar to Earth's, though most of it is covered in several feet of snow. But this isn't set during the Ice Age. As the game progresses, the player bumbles through factories and shopping malls tended to by malfunctioning robots. But why are all the robots malfunctioning? Where are all the humans? And why is there a massive robotic boss at the end decked out in a small army's worth of missiles and lasers? According to one theory, Shiverstar is actually a version of Earth trapped in a nuclear winter. Following a nuclear war, the ash from immense fires got trapped in the atmosphere, blocking out the sun and freezing the planet to its core. The humans that survived the deadly radiation were killed off by the sub-zero temperatures, leaving the factories, malls, and robots to gather dust. This means Kirby might be rolling around a post-apocalyptic landscape, bouncing through dust that used to be billions of people. And I thought his feet were bad. Unless you've been living under a rock, you probably know the story of a certain red-capped, mustachioed plumber. In Super Mario World, Mario has to save Princess Peach from Bowser, the evil king of the Koopa, who rules over the Mushroom Kingdom. Along the way, different items lend Mario the power to smash through Bowser's minions. But as heroic as he appears, the Fire Flower power-up has sparked a fan theory that's hard to ignore. Unlike other attacks, hitting an enemy with a fireball produces a coin. Why would burning an enemy to a crisp reward you with money? Well, this theory claims that the coins aren't made of gold, but of souls. Like an 8-bit cremation, burning up the bodies releases the souls, whereas bopping or crushing a minion doesn't destroy the vessel completely. What's more, collecting 100 of these soul coins grants Mario an extra life, like a soulless exchange for immortality. But if that's all true, why are there so many coins concealed in bricks and blocks? Well, in the original Super Mario Bros. Instruction Manual, it says that the peace-loving mushroom people, like the character Toad, were turned into stones and bricks by the Koopa. So, by headbutting the bricks, you could be shattering one of Toad's cousins and claiming their soul for yourself. Anyone else feel super guilty all of a sudden? Next up, Majora's Mask is one of the bleakest games in the iconic Legend of Zelda series. But there's a chance it's much darker than anyone first thought. In the game, our protagonist Link discovers he's lost his fairy friend Navi. His quest to find her becomes so troubled that one popular fan theory claims the game actually guides Link and the player through the five stages of grief. These are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Clock Town represents denial, where despite the menacing moon threatening to end the world, the townsfolk continue to plan their upcoming festival. Then there's the Deku King representing anger, who's blinded by rage at the disappearance of his daughter. After that, even though Darmani is dead and has become a ghost, he embodies bargaining by trying to strike a deal to return to the land of the living. Then, maybe saddest of all, Lulu speechlessly displays depression after losing her eggs. And finally, Link's acceptance culminates in his ascension through the Stone Temple, where he literally becomes enlightened through his discovery of the light arrows. It almost makes you feel bad for enjoying the game. With representations of grief packed into every pixel, other theories have pointed out that Link might not be grieving over Navi, but is actually struggling to accept his own death. At the beginning of the game, Link chases the elusive Skull Kid and falls down a deep hole accompanied by an impossible stream of visions before landing unharmed at the bottom. But one fan pointed out there's no way he could have survived such a long fall, let alone land without a scratch. The rest of the game serves as a quest for him to come to terms with his own deadly demise before his soul passes on to the afterlife. That's pretty heartbreaking, though it's not the worst theory to arise from a Legend of Zelda game. Now, before Hyrule's hero was given his piercing blue eyes or recognizable blonde mop, he existed as a blocky character in the original Legend of Zelda video game from 1986. This 8-bit adventure saw the now famous protagonist battle to save Princess Zelda from the evil wizard Ganon by scouring dungeons in search of pieces of the mystical Triforce. Each dungeon was a unique labyrinth of rooms guarded by monsters, but the third dungeon turned out to be the worst by far. Not because it was tough, but because a top-down version of the map resembled a freakishly fascist design. This discovery immediately led to rumors and theories that there were fascist employees working for Nintendo and that the game was actively advocating fascism. After all, Link does go around killing everything in the land that doesn't look like him. And to make it worse, later iterations of the character were given fascist favorite features like blonde hair and blue eyes. Oh boy. Nintendo rushed to reveal that this was actually designed after a manji, an ancient Buddhist symbol promoting peace, unlike the horrendous hate symbol people had mistaken it for. So it was all just an innocent error in judgment, and thankfully, not the world's worst recruitment drive. Well, which of these games have been ruined for you forever? And do you know of any others that make you wish you could hit Control plus Alt plus Unsee? Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's Durafighter Interior Paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's Durafighter Paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.